Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another rousing edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Hassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey, Big Jerv, and Jay Skills. We got a hell of a show for you guys today. We're going to get into all of these scandals. People getting accused of stuff left and right, whether it's Aaron Hall, whether it's Diddy, Marcellus Wiley, Josh Giddey, like all these different cases are flying around. We're going to talk about all that stuff, including a very important conversation on the age of consent. You don't want to miss it. Spoiler alert, none of us are like, yo, that shit ain't low enough. Like, trust me, we're all with you. That shit is gross. But I don't think you guys know how gross it is, and we'll get into that detail. We'll also talk about how Trey won the big bet about Deion Sanders. Was it worth losing his black card and being called an Uncle Tom? We'll find out. Also, an update on the fantasy rankings. But first, www.patreon.com/countthedings. That's where all the extra content lives. The OG podcast, the Cinephobe special edition episodes, the watch-alongs for games, for movies, all that stuff. We got it going on. You definitely don't want to lose out or miss out on any of that. Patreon.com/countthedings. Lock in. All right, let's talk about it. Niggas that talk about violence, but ain't really about that shit.
I could,
but that's my point. My point is either I get it. My point is either you're gonna do something,
or don't do nothing. Don't say it.
Or you just gotta keep it to yourself. Like, I don't like that person, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But
niggas
in the infamous words of Mobb Deep, ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. You can't because here's the other thing, Trey. You say, niggas just say that shit to say that shit. But it's like, have you ever respected someone? I don't respect niggas like that. Because I come from an era where it's like, are you going to actually do that shit? No? Then shut the fuck up then.
But that's where we are, I feel like, in the world right now. I mean, like, all the rappers, all the niggas, all the beat, everything is... It's been online and it's gradually been more. I mean, unfortunately, when it's not online, it turns into some ugly shit. Niggas can't just fight. But
that's like, I'm not here to condone violence.
Right.
I'm just saying, don't talk about violence unless you're actually going to be a violent person. Go be violent. If you're going to be violent, right. Be violent.
Right.
Or find another means. But like, to talk about violence and then not carry it through, to me, it's unnecessary. Is this a generational thing? I say it doesn't impress anybody, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think you are. I think that's a big part of conversation online. Like I said, in general, but I'm obviously for rappers, right? How many rappers do we know have threatened to, I mean, Koofy Smacker, we went down the whole New York radio shit, right? Like all of that was exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, it was niggas calling in saying, you're a bitch ass nigga, I'm gonna fuck you up, this and that. Ray J's infamous rant against Fabulous about, you know what I'm saying? So we know that, we know that Ray J did not go see Fabulous after that. Like, that was not the result of that conversation. But niggas love selling it, and niggas are hella entertained and sometimes impressed by niggas' character because he said such things.
Entertain makes sense. Impressed to me is...
Bro, a lot of people like swear by whoever, you know what I'm saying? Pick any rapper or any nigga who, you know what I'm saying, gets on a microphone and talks shit. Most niggas do not get in fights or have been fucking fucked up once it happens. I mean, look at the fucking Academics Santana situation. Jesus. Like you scared to fight another man, but you on the internet talking shit? Like, this is the world that we live in.
It's acceptable, man. It's acceptable.
I think, like, you could talk shit, but talking violence to me is the dumb shit. You could talk shit. That nigga crusty, that nigga broke, that nigga, like, okay. Everybody talks shit. Talking shit is a goddamn sport at this point.
It's what we grew up on.
It's what we grew up on. And we all talk shit. But you don't talk violence unless you about to do violence. In the same way where niggas in the movies be have a gun and a nigga will always say, the old G will always say, now what you about to do with that? Right? Like, meaning like, you don't pull that shit out unless you ready to fucking get it popping. Otherwise, you're just an idiot holding a thing. So to me, it's like, it comes down to talk all the shit you want. But once you talk about violence, like, nigga, you gonna do it? No? Then shut the fuck up.
I agree.
Pretty much.
But we are a peaceful podcast. We promote peace on this podcast.
Yes.
I mean, let's get into the Black Mother Dorothy, man. Can we talk about Black Mother Dorothy? Yo, Jason, you are fucking funny. Bro,
the nigga just do that
heart. He did the fucking TikTok heart, nigga. Yo, make that into a gift, please. No, Jim Irsay, the Coats owner, bro, gets into it with Stephen A. On First Take, bro. Well, not on First Take, but he says basically, and on First Take, the woman that preceded Stephen A., how dare you pretend to know me? I don't know your name, and I don't care to. If my black mother, Dorothy, was still alive, you'd be in some big hot water. You are mean and ugly. You're a nothing burger, right? And the trash talk was
black mother Dorothy. Oh, wait, but who?
Jim Irsay, bro.
He's talking about mammy. He's talking about his mammy.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. Then,
That nigga tripping. This prompted me because he had a whole thread.
What that nigga Russ say? Bro, these niggas tripping.
He had a whole thread, bro. And so this prompted me to actually, for the first time, look up who Jim Irsay was.
You didn't know?
No, I didn't know anything about this man other than that he always looks three seats to the wind. Like, I don't know who
he's the owner. Coats, and
I know that. I don't know nothing. No.
But he had the whole getting caught in the car in the whip with the drugs on him, right?
Yeah. So I knew about those two things, and that was it. Oh, every time I see
that's
him,
all to know.
That's all you need to know.
But look, because this is what makes the story interesting. Like after I looked him up, because he goes on he posts another tweet, talking about his parents were his grandparents were immigrants, and basically they got it out the mud, and you know he worked really hard, and then you know became the Colts owner, and niggas was like, "What, bro? Like your dad was a multimillionaire who bought the Colts, nigga? You inherited the shit when you were like 25. Like what are you talking about?" Like, what are you literally talking about?
Nigga's never gotten shit out the mud.
Right. So I thought maybe he was like a poor white kid that, you know, was maybe had a black mom in his neighborhood or something that he used to hang out.
No.
At the house. I didn't
this
know
nigga
that.
Had a mammy.
That's who
that
I didn't,
nigga
that's
had a mammy.
I was confused because that's the way he was presenting it was like he was some, you know what I'm saying, podunk white kid who just really pulled up by his bootstraps. And I was like,
hey. I can imagine him now as a kid walking in and is like, mammy, the black kids from down the block were mean to me. Like, hush, don't pay no mind to them colored kids. They ain't got no, they just ugly and they mad that they ain't got your beautiful white skin. Like, I mean, what the fuck, man? What you talking about, man? Now, here's my question about the whole situation.
Black mother Dorothy, though.
Why was Jim Irsay the topic on First Take? I don't know that part.
Okay, it was DUI. He got a DUI in 2014.
He got another one?
Yeah, he just got one. Yeah.
He got another one?
Yeah. Oh, and he said that he was being racially profiled because he's a white billionaire.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with the plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
I mean,
I'll put that on my black mother Dorothy, nigga.
That's where this all comes from, is that he said that he got racial profile. That's why he got a DUI, because niggas was racial profiling him and pulled him over.
Yo, that nigga sick. Tripping. Hey, that's it. That nigga tripping, dog. That nigga sick, dude. That's real. That's
crazy, man.
Yeah.
Niggas be telling on themselves, huh? It's amazing.
All day? All day.
It's amazing. Day. It's like, you could just get a DUI and then be like, oh, shit, man. That's it, huh? Or you could keep talking and like just make this thing 100 times worse. Speaking of making things 100 times worse by talking, Jesus Christ, Aaron Hall. Good God, man.
Go, look, man.
I don't know if he did it. I don't know if he didn't do it. I just know that the nigga's not doing himself any favors by talking. But you know whose fault it really is.
He just looked like a nigga, man. He just looked like a nigga that just can't help himself.
He is a nigga in every definition, but you know whose fault it really is, though. It's these damn interviewers. How dare they ask questions like, what were the 90s like? Like they're trying to trap these niggas, clearly. I hope all of y'all realize how dumb y'all sounded. Every time, like, Vlad is the feds. I'm like, ain't nobody putting a gun to you or to you, Irv Gotti, or to you, what's his name? And asking y'all to talk. These niggas are volunteering this information. Because you know what would happen if Vlad asked, yo, what was up with you and Gloria Velez? And the nigga said, I'm not talking about that. Next question. You know what would happen? Vlad would probably cut that part out. Because it'd be a boring ass interview of niggas saying next question. They include the shit that were you talking and you letting your fucking mouth run. I'll be right, listening to them shits. You don't even really ask. You don't even get in depth.
Nah, I was going to say, like, niggas don't need to be egged on. Once the camera is turned on, niggas are ready to give a show, you know? And that's really the unfortunate part about it, because it's like, we know these people as entertainers. That's their profession. Niggas feel like they got to tell every sensational, tantalizing morsel of their life in order to get niggas to listen for 5 seconds. It's like, bro, you don't have to like give us the, you know, saucy details about every, you know what I'm saying, thing you and Puff Daddy did.
Like, do they not have like PR departments anymore? Like, there's not a PR or is that just in the movies and stuff?
No, I mean, like, that's if you have PR requests, nigga. If you popping, you're not popping anymore. You just, them niggas is DMing them, like, hey, come on my podcast.
Just have someone that they holler at before they make like public statements.
You're gonna pay niggas 20 years after your career's over? You're not gonna pay niggas. What's Aaron Hall paying a nigga?
Like, you don't got like a homie or something?
I'm gonna tell you what it is. The crazy thing is, yo, you've legitimately lived an incredibly impressive life, bro. There's so many shits that you could tell a story about that we would be amazed by. Just the other day, what I do, I shared the shit about, what was it? The niggas were talking about how they made the beat to, it was Timbaland talking about how he made the beat to, I can't remember what song it was. And it's like, it was Ginuwine. Ginuwine was talking about fucking Tim was Pony, about to give the beat about Pony.
Yeah.
And about Pony, how him. he was going to give the beat to a commercial. He didn't even like the beat. And Ginuwine and the dude that co-wrote it was like, don't give it away.
Static Major, man.
Yeah. Let us just fuck with it. And Tim was like, whatever, go fuck. All right. Have fun with it. Like he threw that shit at them. Like, this is trash. This is a trash beat. I was just fucking around. And then the shit turned into like the biggest hit of this nigga career and one of the biggest fucking beats fucking Tim ever created. But it's like, nigga, I didn't need to know who you fucked, right? Like, that's an amazing, interesting story that got shared and went viral. Mm-hmm. Aaron Hall, I'm sure you have millions of stories about you, what you actually did, music, whatever. Even if you want to tell us a crazy fucking party story, man, I was halfway asleep. And then Puff asked me, yo, we got a plane, we're flying to Vegas right now. By the time we land, it'll be 1 a.m. there. And then we partied and I didn't go to sleep for 3 days. Like, you, I'm sure there's shit there. Nigga got to talk about, like, I was fucking and these niggas done seen me fuck. Who are you impressing? Who are you impressing? I guarantee you, man, there's not one nigga in the world's like, that's my nigga. He fucked in front of other niggas so they know. Who are you impressing, dog?
It might be some
bitches get impressed by that.
Some niggas in the world hearing what we didn't been hearing about Puffy and Dwight Howard and a lot of niggas. It might be a lot of niggas impressed by that conversation, man. Bro.
Oh my god!
Unfortunately, the reality of the world is actually a lot scarier than niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Not even let me put it this way. Not even the gay homies want to see that shit. Nobody wants to. Well, let me take that back. I guess there are cucks out there.
That's what I'm telling you. From the paperwork that just got published in the Puff Daddy situation, nigga, apparently he did want to see that. Like, that was some shit that nigga was.
Freak off, man.
Yeah, signing up for. Yeah, he was just describing the freak off. You feel me? Like, that was their whole shit. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's a whole quadrant of niggas that do shit that we don't find interesting, entertaining, would never want to set our eyes or spirits on. And niggas are immersed in it, bro. You feel me? Like, deeply.
So what you guys are saying is this nigga is speaking. Are you saying he's speaking to a demographic that we're not part of? Or
yep, definitely.
Is it a layer beyond that where it's like that nigga doesn't realize how small that demographic is?
Both things can be true.
Gotcha. All right.
You know what I'm saying? And he's such a part of that demographic. It's the same way that, I mean, maybe not the same way, but in a similar way, like how Cam'ron made fun of Just Blaze for being like a Wall Street nigga or, you know, loving video games. Yeah. Like, this is his fetish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He likes to talk about shit that's kind of gross to us. You know what I'm saying? That's what he gets off on.
Yo, so what's this the thing, right? All these men have been accused as of Friday of either allegations or, you know, went to trial. What
they call it, the deadline.
Yo, that shit is yo, they've been submitting all this stuff, right? And it's a big chunk of like a lot of people that, you know, notable names here that were brought in. And yeah, dude, this shit is crazy. But why do you think, especially a lot of people, and I feel like maybe just it's the celeb culture of people just loving somebody and just like not thinking that they're capable of any of this shit. I'm right. Watching older black people to be exact. Like, no, they just trying to get some money. You know what I'm saying? And why is it like, you know, whether it's 10 years, 2 years, 30 years, why we still don't see it as wrong? Or like, why?
Sometimes it do be the money grab, though, Trey. That's the thing. Yeah, that's the like, thing there's that a couple, the waters.
Everybody got a there's price, a, brother.
There's a couple of things. Number one, sometimes it do be a money grab, right? Number two, the idea that this happened because there was a deadline, right? I think that that fuels it somehow. And we got all of these things real quick before Friday. Why is Friday? Well, because Friday's the last day. Like, why is the last day? Why are we doing a Black Friday sale on this, right? Right? Because I think it's legitimate to say if this is some shit that happened decades ago, and then they had this law for the last year, you waited till the last 2 days to file, that there is a little bit of suspicion around that. And then number three, I think because sometimes we, I won't say incorrectly, but loosely apply shit that happens to regular Black folk to rich Black folk, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea that the justice system is designed to incarcerate us and is unfairly unjust towards us, the assumption is like, and they do that to Cosby, and not like them niggas are not living the Black experience.
Well, it's a lot of Black niggas. It's not a lot of Black niggas. I mean, it's Diddy, Jamie Foxx, Cuba Gooding Jr., Axl Rose, Harvey Weinstein, Donald Trump, Bill Cosby, Marcellus Wiley, Jimmy Iovine, Doug Morris, L.A. Reid, Russell Brand, Marilyn Manson, Harv Pierre. Is it Harv Pierre?
Harv Pierre.
Hold on.
All of these were right now? Because I think, wasn't the Russell Brand thing like a couple months
ago? Nah, this is some new shit, brother.
Another one?
Yeah. Anti-Flags, Justin Sane. I had to throw the white people in there too, bro. Who the fuck is that? I don't know. Broadway costume legend. William Ivy Long. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is a lot of people that, you know, whether it's money or not. But I mean, because that's at the end of the day. You pay to make it go away, kind of. You know what I mean? Because you don't really want it to go. So it's not like...
These are all civil suits. These are all civil suits, by the way.
Yeah, it's civil suits. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like, you know, it getting out there is just enough of a stain on your shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
Whether cash grab or not. You know what I mean? And I think whether it goes, it gives courage to other people to speak out. Because, again, you look at in the Diddy situation, it was just like, okay, Cassie. But now we got three more? It's like... You know,
I'll be honest. I thought that shit was kind of low. I thought the number was gonna be higher.
But I'm pretty sure he heard that shit. Like, man, hell yeah! Hey, pay that shit. Brack the Brink Trust up right now. If that's all I gotta pay.
Right, but I think also what a lot of them probably came out because of the Cassie situation and saw that it was successful. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? In terms of like, if you are really, you know, a victim of this type of situation, like. You're probably scared that it's not going to be successful, you know?
I think, my bad. Like,
the climate of it too, though, like, right? If somebody has power, it's not just the movies. Niggas could literally say, make the shit go away, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it never makes a headline. A nigga really might get a briefcase full of bread and never talk about this shit. But then it's just some shit where, again, the shit done been passed, and now you got Gloria Velez talking about grooming. Yeah. You talking about now it's not even gonna be about the bread. It's just gonna be just more so just all right, nigga. I don't care what happened. Or you can't, you know what I mean? Because in the situation,
what is grooming?
Grooming is like when you meet a young woman and then you kind of teach her.
So they've been applying this to not just underage, basically if you have, I guess in the new, you know, Twitter sphere world version of this 10 year or more gap, I would say people start to ascribe this word grooming, which I don't think that it means that in particular, but I'm just telling you how it's being looked at. Yeah. But the thought is like, yeah, somebody is maybe 35 or 40 and they're dating a 19 or 20 year old. You know what I'm saying? And then they are with them for a while and kind of quote unquote groom them to have the attributes and the features of the partner that they want, you know what I'm saying? Because they're too young to have autonomy or to not be susceptible to this older person's knowledge of the world and, you know, money or whatever.
That's gonna do it for us. Well, remember, patreon.com/countthethings. Make sure you're locked in on that. For Trey, for Jerv, for Jason, I'm Amino Hassan reminding you to stay Black, motherfucker.